Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And yes, this is the first of the week, and I'd like to thank you all for standing by us in the past 1 week when I was on vacation. I heard the response was very good. So now I'm back. Always take a vacation, my people. Always. I take a vacation every quarter, you know, 1 week. What did I do during this vacation? Most of you think that I travel. I didn't go. I just locked myself up in my flat in Surulere. It's about 3 floors up. And I never went downstairs. No, except once. Once, I think I went downstairs. But I just locked myself in for about 1 week, you know, and here I am fresh and ready. Sherif was envying me this morning. He says, I look so calm and fresh and whatever. Yeah, oh, more. Don't let me. It's too early in the day for me.
I saw.
But don't envy me. Don't envy me. Copy me. Right. I tell you what. First of all, I have to pay homage to my seniors. When I was much, much younger, you know, we used to listen to the NBC way back in the day, and 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, then there was Daguba and so on and so forth. We used to listen to Benson Idonije on Saturdays. This is a big beat from Radio Nigeria way back. In those days, there was only one radio station, just one. And it was NBC then on Naira Diffusion. But there's one name that also used to crop up. Here is the news. Led by Ron Ngbatogo. And today Uncle Ron is 75. He is 75. And the beauty of being old in this current circumstance, I mean, is that you don't really grow old. I tell you what, Uncle Ron is still in movies. He's still up and about. I mean, look at me. I'm 66, going to 67. I'm still up and about. And I never won't go yet. This one is that he's in a hurry to inherit all kinds of things. Uncle Ron, happy birthday. Happy birthday. He's on one soap, and he's general in one soap. I saw him. So, Uncle Ron, happy birthday to you. I wish you all the best. Then there's the chairman of my Magodo Fans Club. Miss Olaoye. She's a lawyer, young lawyer, and she's, I don't know what her age is, you know, these young ladies, but today is her birthday too. So happy birthday. And then, of course, there's my grandson, Natty Buckle, who is, I think he's 4 or something today, but with this kid. Yemi, I was telling you, you don't know what it's like to have grandchildren. It is an experience that cannot be described.
Wow.
You know, but here you are, you have grandchildren who, as soon as I approach their house, it goes, Jimmy Disu. And everybody goes into a panic, but they don't know it's the greatest. It goes, Jimmy Disu. And the two of them. So today, Natty Buckle, happy birthday. I'll put a call through to him at some point because he says he wants to speak on the radio.
Wow.
And that will be his birthday present. He's saving me cash.
Wow.
Okay, now that all the presents are gone, let's now get down to serious business. Yemi Candy Johnson, SAN, is here. And we are here to talk mainly about the... Do we call it a saga? Is it a saga yet?
Well...
But
it's an event.
We are here to talk about, now I have to choose my words carefully, let me say, about the invasion of the House of Honorable Justice Mary Odeli of the Supreme Court. Am I right?
Yes.
Did I address her properly? I should say my lady, or did you mean my lady?
The Honorable Justice.
Honorable Justice, Mary Odeli, yes. That unfortunate incident that could jolly well have been avoided. Let me first of all say that, yes, some of you will be saying, why him all the time? I said it this morning at 7 and I repeat. One program the likes of Sherif and I and a few other people have in getting opinions is that usually you want to look for an, not fully unbiased, but some form of unbiased and matured reaction to events. And those are very, very difficult to come by. I mean, amongst those who you know, who you can... whether be GT, Libros, or Yemi, you keep going in those circles. Because I've seen people who you ask their opinion, even off air, and they are dilly-dallying, looking for some lost shoelace or something. They can't tell you what, they can't give it to you the way it is. So if you think that it's always a Captain Blade, it's always this and that, these are tested people. you know, they are tested people for their intelligence, their biases, and so on. Everybody's biased, yes, but, you know. So, Yemi, how did we get into this kind of nasty situation where a justice of the Supreme Court's house is being raided in the first instance by a funny court order that even I, an Ogberi in law issues, would fault? And most more embarrassingly, the fact that no government agency can own up to being the ones who are involved in this. I mean, hey, where are we?
Well, it's an event. It's a momentous event. I think that it's shocking. I think that what has happened is unlawful, but it's also reckless and highly irresponsible. Very often, office holders will take actions for reasons which are not necessarily for the purposes of the law. There may be political implications to what has been done, that I understand. But when officers of the law, and when the Attorney General of the Federation, who is the constitutionally responsible officer for law and justice in Nigeria, cannot account for the reckless, dangerous, and unlawful actions of people who are exercising his authority, then it portends very bad things for our country. The context for considering a thing like this is that there are certain rights which are basic and fundamental. I mean, for any ordinary person, I mean, there's an old quotation from William Pitt, the English Prime Minister, who said that, talking about the sanctity of a person's home, and our constitution refers to your home, your papers, and your affairs. And it says that, you know, the poorest tenant in the most wretched tenement bids defiance to the king. The rain may come in, the sun may come in, rats may come in, but the King of England cannot come in except by authority of law or by permission. So that's for ordinary people. But it's even more astounding that a justice of the Supreme Court, a person sitting at the pinnacle of the administration of justice, at the top of an independent arm of government, can be treated so carelessly. Now, it's not so much, well, there's one side of the story is the affront to the independence, the integrity, the confidence of courts and judicial officers. But it's also that it's so carelessly and casually done. There was so much badly wrong with the process, and that I'm not surprised that the Attorney General or the Inspector General of Police or whoever is responsible for these various bands of groups operating on the outskirts of the law, but with the pretentious cover of the law. So when you have someone can go to the House of a Justice of the Supreme Court on an incompetent legal warrant, without probable cause being showed, without any legal justification, because the papers are now in circulation. We've seen the affidavit, we've seen the warrant itself, and we've seen the magistrate who signed this, who obviously is himself entirely unfit for any kind of public office, to recant from what he has done and say that he was misled, according to him, by the Attorney General. Well, there's a serial failure of responsibility in what went on.
Sorry, you said he was misled by the Attorney General.
This is the newspaper report that magistrate claims was misled by the Attorney General. Well, that's the report in papers. But the fact is that it seems what we know is that a squad of people who are operating under the office of the Attorney General mounted an invasion, and this is what it must be called, because you can effect a search warrant with two people or three people, but they mount an invasion with armed personnel. They force entry into a premises which was not named on a warrant, because I think they had 9 or such number, and they went to number 7, the justice's house. Where the justice lives is obviously an area where people of moment and significance reside.
Yes.
They knew where they were going to. The warrant itself was so shabby and incompetent, referring to illegal activities unspecified on its on the face of the document. The affidavit itself, the deponent is given two different names. You know, if you want to commit illegality, you should be at least clever about it. These people were not only reckless, they were incompetent in what they did. And one must then wonder what on earth somebody had in mind in sending this riotous gang under the false cover of law to invade the premises of a justice of the Supreme Court. And when people now say that this was an attempt to overawe and intimidate the judicial branch, particularly in anticipation of heightening political developments in our country, then there's credibility to such a conclusion.
Okay, now, let's get facts right. Justice Mary Odili, is she number two in line or number one in line?
I believe she's number two.
She's number two, so the CJ is number one.
Correct.
So if you are going to follow that order, if when the CJ leaves, hopefully at the appropriate time, she is next in line.
Well, I'm not sure what the age difference is between them, but that is what one would assume.
What one would assume.
Yes.
So that takes care of the political speculation that, of course, because her husband, we can't run away from that fact, because her husband is a strong member of the PDP, could it be possible that this government believes that, oh, by the time election petitions do come in, it is possible that she might be quote unquote difficult to deal with, and so that takes care of that speculation. All these things are speculations that have come up, and these speculations have come up more so with the denial. It was very untidy, very very shoddy. But let's look at this. Step out a bit out of your role as a senior advocate or as a lawyer, for that matter. And let's look at the political angle. The Honorable Chief Justice is wife to a governor who, or a former governor, who has had questions to answer, he's not been found guilty, and had gotten some kind of injunction. I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know the exact words of the injunction, but the implication sold to us on the outside is that he got a perpetual injunction that he cannot be tried. Which, now, if you tie that in with the fact that this gentleman's passport had just been seized, do you think that it could have anything to do with him rather than her? You know, we've taken care of the political speculation, but let's look at this side too. If, for example, there was a need to investigate the man further and look for evidence and so on and so forth, the fact that he's living with his wife, would it have, if it was done in a tidy manner, given them the authority to enter the woman's house looking for things concerning the husband? How does it work out in the eyes of the law? Because if he's living with his wife, it's her official residence. Would you be able to legally go inside the house because the husband is there, lives there, and so on and so forth? Would it make any difference?
Well, the first thing I should say is that a warrant is an intrusion into rights that are settled, into the rights of your privacy and of your home. So if to get authority to invade a person's premises, which is what it is, regardless of the physicality that we exhibited here, which was Wild Wild West sort of stuff. You need to have an investigation. You need to be investigating a specific crime. You need to have probable cause that there's information or evidence at that premises in related to a specific crime. And you need to show cause to a judicial officer that such is the likely result of your intruding into a person's premises. Which means that your affidavit should have demonstrated what the offense he was charged with is, would have demonstrated what you expect to find, and good reasons for why you expect it to be there. Now, none of that has been stated. So we're speculating now as to the legal foundation of that invasion. On the face of it, any warrant to intrude into a person's private home should be sufficient on its face to avert all speculation. We're going there because a gentleman who lives there was involved in theft on such and such date. And we expect to find there the following goods and items. And the reason why we expect so is this. That is probable cause, and a judge would say, well, yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. So if the warrant was competent and this process that was executed demonstrated any sort of professional credibility, and bear in mind this is processes under authority of people who are supposed to know the law. If that was the case, then you would then wonder about the political implications. Now, regardless of what you want to achieve, and many people have dark intentions and dark desires when they're in the political space, but you have to have the intelligence and the sense of responsibility to consider the weight of what you will do. So if a Supreme Court justice has committed a crime, murder, for example, I would consider that that event in itself, if the facts were proven, would be severely damaging to the polity in several other ways, in the credibility of the judicial branch, in the authority of law and order, in the public perception. And I would recognize that I have a political responsibility to manage that situation. So, for example, if a Supreme Court justice had committed a murder, I would like to be as discreet as possible in taking that person into custody. More so when there are political implications that this may be an attempt to score a political point or to act in some way. What is the public perception? Every public officer has a responsibility to the public. And the public interest in the administration of the various branches of government requires that they defer to themselves to some extent. Courts will defer to the executive in the role assigned to them by the Constitution. The legislature is deferred to. Everybody says, well, that's not my function, because the Constitution is created to achieve a balance in the exercise of governmental powers. So when you want to execute an intrusive warrant against a Supreme Court justice's residence, and that was the intention, in spite of the fact that the warrant was incompetent to do so on its face, and when you do so in the most loud and aggressive way, the recklessness is fuel for the idea that whoever carried it out had no respect for the Constitution, no respect for the law, and had no responsibility as to the proper way of exercising public office and public function.
And if you tie this in with the subsequent denials, it makes the case worse.
Well, there you go. I can't see how any law and order event would occur in the country, and the Attorney General cannot say within 30 minutes, this is what happened, and I know who's responsible.
All right. We're going to open up our lines, 0700-993-993-993. We obey all the laws. Okay? And our female line, 01465-7190. Female line because, it's, you know, women have a line for them to call in.
Because men will be blocking the
lines. Men will be blocking the lines.
Yeah, I'll be rambling on.
We'll take a short break. Yeah. When I come back, I'm going to continue with Yemi Candid-Johnson, SAN, and we'll continue to look at this the Justice Mary Odeli event. It's, it's not a saga yet.
Well,
but it's that once in one.
It's becoming a saga.
We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Yeah, hello. Okay, this call came in just trying to organize ourselves for break. I think there's another one. Hello, yes, morning. Very quickly, you have less than a minute. I'm just doing you a favor
good
now.
Good morning, Oga Jimmy and your guest. Very articulate essay.
Yes.
It's unfortunate what is going on. And I'm surprised that those people are still occupying their seats, their offices. It was the time of OBJ, Adel OBJ. Ajumi is so interested. You have asked the judge, the man who swore affidavit, the whistleblower, the policeman, all of them should go and find out what happened. They will leave the office. We'll tell them if you don't get the person responsible for this, you will not come back. By now, they will be running head of curtain and singing all that work.
Okay.
My name is Aburime.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aburime. So, but you're assuming that the same people who would have done that didn't know about it. Now we'll take that break. I will be right back because something tells me that I even doubt if the Attorney General would have done this without further authority. But, you know, these are speculations. This is what happens when you don't have facts and things are done in such an untidy manner.
It's the job of government to communicate its activity and to communicate its actions and explain them. It's not our job to speculate.
To speculate. But if they don't, then we speculate.
Then we speculate.
Yes. Exactly. So I'm in cool yes. hands. Yeah. Okay. We'll now take the longer waited short break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jimmy Disu, Jimmy Disu right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. Yemi, what if in truth the Attorney General didn't know about it? Okay. You know, the kind of intrigues that you have or you have had in this government especially, where people in authority have to come and clear up a mess that they were not involved in. What if in truth the Attorney General didn't know about it?
You know, I think when Richard Nixon became president in America, the day before his inauguration, he was talking to someone and he says to them, you know, the unemployment is at such a level, inflation is at such a level, the crime rate is at such a level. And he said, and by the time I take the oath of office tomorrow at 12 noon, it'll be my fault. That is the responsibility of office. You cannot accept public office without accepting the responsibility of that office. So you ask an interesting question, because that it is interesting because that question indicates what many people believe, that there is a high degree of dysfunction in the arms of our government.
Mm-hmm. And you can't run away from that.
That itself is an admission of failure on the part of those who occupy public office. But assuming that is the case, if the Attorney General does not know that armed men representing themselves to act for the government are roaming the streets of the capital in an area where high-profile public functionaries live, then he has failed in his job. Somebody's head ought to roll, and as far as I'm concerned, his head ought to roll.
Would this kind of action, if it were legal, would it be done without the attention of the Inspector General and the head of the DSS?
You know, these questions that we ask, I find them troubling that you can, that first of all, I find it troubling that it can be presented as a case that unaccountable armed gangs are roaming the streets and carrying out apparently public functions. They got an order from a magistrate. The magistrate exists. So they had the ostensible cloak of law. That is a problem. But then when you head an organization, you can't head an organization without taking responsibility. The buck has to stop somewhere. You cannot be head of the police and say, I'm not accountable for what is happening in the police. Somebody must account to you, and somebody must account for what has been done. Now, if you come and you say, I'm unable to control the agency which I have constitutional legal power over, then that is an admission which renders you unfit for that
office. You know, because to my mind, the only identifiable person in this right now is a magistrate. Sure. So for all you care, this could have been an armed gang from Niger Republic, you know, from the underworld.
Yeah, they say they're conducting investigations. the justice and her family will be able to identify some of the people who came, how they came, describe them. Did they come with official cars? Did they come with highly sophisticated weapons? What did they present? The warrant that was presented, signed by the magistrate, is available in the public domain.
Sheriff said something. The affidavit
is available in the public domain.
Sheriff said something when we were off air, the development, because he, being head of the studio here, he gets very current news. He said something about the paper being fake, the letter-headed paper. What is Baba looking for? Come on. You said something about the Ministry of Justice saying that even the purported letter, whatever it was.
Yes,
was fake.
Yes. The Office of the Attorney General responded to it, and they said that even the letterhead that was used had the wrong address of the Federal Ministry of Justice, so it couldn't have emanated from there.
So,
even the name of the task force that.
It doesn't exist.
Never existed there.
So, Yemi, are we looking at a criminal enterprise? this it becomes more and more mysterious, you know, and worrying, for that matter. Could there have been an attempt to kidnap the woman?
Well, I don't know.
Could they have been bandits?
I don't know what happened there, but I don't think that a lot of bandits, you know, bandits operate in large tracts of our country with impunity.
Yes.
I don't think many of them turn up with court orders and affidavits and identity cards, identify themselves as law enforcement and leave the chain of evidence. It's a waste of time. If an armed gang has the capacity to penetrate that environment,
the jolly well does.
Why do they need paperwork?
Okay, but you. I think you also said that the magistrate said that the attorney general.
There's a headline.
That's a report. Yes.
Yes. That he was misled. So some lawyer went before him and asked for those papers. An affidavit was sworn. So now, it's just the idea that we can speculate endlessly, but somebody presented themselves as acting under the authority of law. The person responsible for law in Nigeria is the Attorney General of the Federation. I would have expected that within 48 hours, he would identify who took those actions and identify the consequences that followed.
And we still don't have that.
And nobody has said bandits. So far, they've said that it's, you know, this deniability, it's a mess. The very idea that days after this has gone on, we're speculating and we're shifting shape and shifting responsibility. Somebody needs to be in charge.
And our president is not in town, so can't. Well, do you think that by now the presidency should have issued a definite statement on what's going on?
Unquestionably. Unquestionably.
And we haven't had that.
Controlling, you know, you wonder why in other countries the press secretary of the president goes to the podium every day. It's to control the news cycle, to control perception and to communicate where the position of the government is. This is not the responsibility. The president of Nigeria has a litany of communications aides who just seem to be doing... Not a lot. I hope I put that gently.
Yeah, you're soft landing. You're quite gentle on that.
But the fact is that it's their job to explain.
Do you think they're competent?
There's not much that I have seen from what they have done which would suggest competence.
Okay, fine. Nicely put. Okay, so go on. Yes.
So it's your job. You see this happens. The president of America or the prime minister, the press secretary or the communication director goes to the podium to say, this has happened. This is what we know. Yesterday, an incident occurred outside the house of a Supreme Court justice. We now have information that so and so people went there. They presented these documents. These documents were not genuine. However, the investigation we have launched would indicate this is what happened. And there's CCTV in Abuja. Many of these places are highly monitored. Communications traffic is controlled. If they spoke on mobile phones, you can tell if you want to catch somebody, it's very easy. If you want to investigate a crime, even with a dysfunctional police force, all you need is two or three people with above average intelligence to determine that. How do we determine what went there? Whose phones were in that area at that time? Everybody's phone is registered in the country. What vehicles went to that premises? To whom were they registered? Where did they go? What type of weapons were available? To that degree of sophistication and weaponry, is it some that is available to members of the public or to members of security agencies? The magistrate should have been questioned by this stage. Who appeared before you? How did you identify him as a lawyer? Where did he come from? What documents were you shown? On whose application did you revoke the warrant that you issued in the first place? The magistrate is unfit for office. He's obviously dangerously incompetent and likely highly corrupt.
At what point did he revoke the warrant?
Well, the day or so after we saw another
Did document. Anybody appear before him?
Well, these are questions that...
Or he just revoked it in his office.
And you're not even the attorney general and you're asking the right questions.
Who, me?
Yes.
I'm surrounded by lawyers, you know that. I'm surrounded. I was born into a law environment. Actually,
we should make you attorney general.
Ah, no. Everywhere goes scatter. I'm surrounded by lawyers. Yes. Okay, let's open up our lines and see what people are thinking out there. Please remember, when you want to call from a very quiet environment, and let's go straight to the point so we give everybody an opportunity. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, this is Kendi Ario. I'm calling from Akeson.
Yes.
I want to say that everybody is denying this raid.
Yes.
I'll call it a raid because of the context at which I'm speaking right now.
Mm. Yes.
So everybody is denying it. As far as I'm concerned, these are the issues. The person whose house was raided,
yes, is
still alive. Why can't we go and ask her what they call themselves when they came, whether it is the police, whether mm-hmm. it's the army, whether mm-hmm. it's the DSS. She should tell us who are those people, what did they introduce themselves as. That's mm. the first thing. Then
yes.
the second one is, if everybody is now denying it, then the press, I would advise that the press should just come out and say this is an assassination attempt. That is what we should use. Because the man in your studio just said it now, that if the government does not come out with an explanation, people have the right for speculations.
Yes.
So now that there is no one that is talking to us now, the government is not talking to us, the police says they are not involved, this one says they are not involved, let us call it an assassination attempt. Let
okay.
us know that now nobody is safe.
Okay, fine. Point noted. I'd like to comment on that. Whilst you're doing that, it's something also occurred to me. The involvement of the River State governor in giving a 10-day ultimatum, I wonder what relevance that has in the current state of things.
Well, the River State governor is a political leader from the space where this judge comes from.
Yes.
She's obviously a leading citizen of River State.
Okay.
If I was the governor of the state, I would take an interest in what was likely to befall her.
So if nothing happens in 10 days, what do you think he's going to do?
Oh, I don't know. He's a lawyer himself, but he's also a strong man. So
What do you mean strong man? He has muscle.
I would grab some popcorn and watch what unfolds.
Don't worry, I'll supply the beer to go with it. Let's take the next caller, please. Hello, good morning.
Morning to this. So how are you doing? My name is Adenusi Patrick. I'm calling from Lekki.
Hey, Adenusi, how are you?
I'm very good. Good okay. morning, my brother. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. Mr. Yemi Candid.
Johnson,
is
yes.
Is he candid because he's candid?
Yemi, make your point quickly. We have just a minute here now.
He has enlightened us so much.
Yes.
And the truth is, all of us today should begin to live in fear if such a high government official, judicial person, could be this evaded.
Hmm. Yes.
It also means that the president is not safe, neither you and I.
Yes, okay, correct. Fine. Well, that I've always known, Yemi. I've always known that I'm living in a concrete jungle. It's a pity we don't have that much time. We would have been able to discuss this current development, this building that came. These are symptoms of a failed state.
Yes.
But let's go that way. Let's just stay focused on what we're talking about. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Morning.
Hello.
Good morning, sir. Please go on.
Okay, sir. My name is AGK.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm calling from Koka, Orile.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Please, sir, concerning the invasion of Justice Ordinance home.
Yes.
My question is this. In the news, I've heard that a magistrate issued an order or a warrant to go to her house.
Yes.
Okay. Who is that magistrate? Where is she? Or where is he? And who is the person that he or she gave the order to invade the house of that woman?
Okay,
because
sir.
Somebody must have received that order from her. And she's still very much alive. So why are we looking for something where there is nothing?
Okay, thank you. Yemi, in the light of this, what do we expect from the government in the next 24 hours? Don't you think we need a well-crafted, well-stated explanation as to what actually went down?
You know what troubles me is that many people who hold public office don't understand the responsibility and the context in which they operate. The fundamental reason for which human society is organized is safety, progress.
Mm.
The safety of every life within a political space is one of the guarantees that is given. The right to life, the right to your private property. These are rights we guarantee to give us a reason to organize.
Mm.
Now, you cannot police an entire country. The previous caller was talking about the risk of assassination and the threat to each one of us if a high government functionary is exposed to this sort of abuse. Because without confidence in the institutions of government, they cannot function effectively. You know, someone said to me, if you line up all the soldiers in Nigeria from the wharf, they cannot reach mile two.
Hmm.
So you cannot police every single spot. How you police it is by inspiring confidence in institutions and in their authority. If those institutions have no credibility, have no capacity, if they're dysfunctional, if they cannot be respected, then they will fail.
Hmm.
Some may already take the view that they have failed systematically and systemically, but then you will see the degradation in societal order which comes from their actually falling apart. Because if you cannot trust the police, if you cannot trust the Attorney General, if you cannot trust that the President of Nigeria will recognize the grave peril to order and society, which he is the principal party in, with these acts of brigandage inside or outside the authority of law, then we have a problem. And if everybody in a community considers that it's every man for himself, then the society will fragment.
We have a big problem on our hands. I mean, and I don't know how we're going to resolve all this. What I think would help, like we just agreed, is a definite statement from the government, you know, letting us know what happened.
Yes.
The IG says it's going to institute a probe. I think the probe is beyond its office now. I think that the government itself, for all it's worth, needs to institute some kind of probe, and definitely some heads must roll. This is very embarrassing. But it also shows what a lot of us have said, that there seems to be some kind of dysfunction at the top in governance in Nigeria. And this has nothing to do with anybody's political leaning.
Mm.
Those who love Buhari fail to hear this. Every time you say something like this, they point to bridges and they point to power plants and infrastructural development. All infrastructural development and power plants and whatever would become to nothing if you don't get your economy right and you don't get people's perception right. Right now, the confidence in government is also almost gone. The average citizen doesn't believe that you have a cohesive government. And government is not a one-person thing. You need to see some cohesion, even as it were, between the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive. At least you need to see some coordination. It is not happening. I hope the top, and even the party itself, the party, all of them will quickly rally around and come up with a firm decision, a firm explanation as to what has happened. If heads need to roll, they should roll and then tidy up. But if we continue along this path, then the issue of the bandits and IPOB, whatever, will be child's play to what I can see ahead. This is a complete breakdown.
That's what it is. It's a breakdown.
It's a complete breakdown.
It's a breakdown. And nobody's taking responsibility. And you cannot, public office is not a fancy dress.
Yes.
Public office is a responsibility.
Hmm.
That is the point. And bridges and pipelines mean nothing if life and security cannot be guaranteed. If people cannot feel safe to move about, if they cannot feel safe in the personnel who administer their affairs, if they cannot feel that even a Supreme Court justice is not safe from unlawful disruption to her life and probably threat to her life, then we haven't really taken consideration of the danger in which we're in.
Okay, no, you know what, Yemi? The time is usually an enemy of a program like this. And there's so many other questions that I have to ask. I might be calling on you to please come back on Saturday.
It's always a pleasure to see you.
The discourse. And what I want to do on Saturday is to, whilst we're taking care of this part, let's now look at, we'll look at the issue of what Dilly himself, the husband, and the issue of his perpetual injunction and so on and so forth. And I'd like us to thoroughly look at it on Saturday, if you don't mind.
It's not at all.
Please give my love to Tom to say she should please let you get up from the bed.
Sure.
What you'll do, don't go out on Friday, okay?
It'll be a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
When you come on Saturday, 8 o'clock, discuss. I want us to look at that particular issue.
Okay.
Because it's difficult to distance this from what that is, and also the political implications. So I hope you'll be available.
It'll be my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's been Yemi Candid-Johnson, SAN, talking about. He'll be back on Saturday. On Saturday, we are going to take a thorough look at this idea of a perpetual injunction, because all these things dovetail, you know, all these things dovetail into the, you know, into people's perception of the country where in the injunction they serve is about 16 years. Close to that, Sharif, I don't know.
It's a remarkable thing.
It's a remarkable thing. I mean, I hope it's in the law reports. A perpetual injunction, not to... Okay. Thank you very much, Yemi.
Thank you.
Now back to the program. I'd like to apologize. You know, originally I had said that I was going to give you my thoughts, but these developments and that of the building collapse. You know, because first and foremost, I'm a journalist. I like reacting to what you would call the hot news. And therefore, I had to do this. And then, so what we are going to do is that on Thursday, I'm going to bring one or two persons and we'll talk fully about this building collapse. Okay. And one of the guys I'm going to bring is a gentleman called Skunle Uthman, who is a lawyer and a member of the body of benchers, because he has written a protest letter to the governor, which I found so interesting. I'd like to share with you. Of course, I don't want to deny you, dear Bumi, tomorrow. So we'll have that at 9 o'clock. Can I now talk to my grandson? I have this obligation to do to him. He says he wants to be on the radio. Where is he? He's not here yet. He's not here yet. Philip, what's happening? They're trying to get him. Okay. So that's what it's going to be. Tomorrow, I'm having a Queen's College old student. As you know, I've been made some kind of honorary member of the Queen's College. And I've been attached to Obasa House, in case there are any Queen's College old guys out there who want to know. And I'll have Uche here tomorrow. Uche will be here at 9 o'clock. And we will do Dear Bumi together. And then on Thursday, I'll have Kunle Uthman with one more person. Mr. Kunle Uthman is a lawyer, a member of Body of Ventures. We'll look at this building issue. Don't think that because he's not into building. No. He's going to look at the legal implication and all other responsibilities that are attached to this that have led us into this very, very big mess that we have. Sorry? The number is not picking. Oh, okay, sorry. So I've done my part. Let me pick somebody who's calling us. I think I have 2 more minutes to go before the techers come in. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, who's calling?
My name is Val. I'm calling since.
Yes.
Let me quickly run my thoughts in 1 minute.
Yes.
First of all, I wish Yemi Kale Johnson one day will be the AGF of this nation. He has the capacity.
People like him can't survive that position at all. With all the intrigues.
Number two, the AGF that we have today, whatever it does, automatically is a representation of the interest of the federal government because it acts in their capacity.
Yeah, but so yes.
I think there is a sinister motive maybe to get this particular personality out of the way, just as it was done to the previous CGN because of political reasons. And the shabbiness with which it was carried out shows that the AGF is incompetent. So I think head should rule. And finally, the president travels the same day or a day before this incident happened, similar to what happened when the Senate, the House of Assembly was also raided by DSS some years back. Thank you.
Okay, let me react to that. The president's travel had been scheduled. So I don't think, and then his presence or otherwise won't make much of a difference, if you ask me. And I don't want to say yet that the Attorney General is incompetent. I think that's a bit unfair without proper proof. Let me tell you, the thing about speaking in public and on radio is sometimes even when you don't say anything, it has a heavier implication than to throw it out just like that, bam, and say, I don't think he's incompetent. Give the man, cut him some slack and give him a chance, and let's see what to come up with. Did you want to read this?
This one?
Yes. Did you want to read it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it. It's unfortunate. His name is Adewale Omotosho, and he says, it's unfortunate we found ourselves here. What's being done to ensure we're not bamboozled into repeating the same? I have observed 97% of all these petitions are empty-headed. I know the next advice she would say is for me to go and get my PVC, but mind you, they will ensure it's their cronies who have access to it.
Well, you shouldn't let that thought stop you from getting your PVC and voting. Let's start somewhere. I can understand your skepticism. I understand the way it goes. But let us even start somewhere. Let's make an attempt. Okay? I got to go. The techers will be here any minute from now. Teke 2 will show right through the door, through the glass door that we have here. And Teke 1 will follow, leaving Teke 3 at home, who is my real party man, One day I'm going to request her. I think Tekke 3 is how old now? It should be about 4.
No. No.
Tekke 3.
I think it's about 2.
Two. The gentleman.
It was here yesterday.
Oh, I missed him. Yeah. Yes. I have this. Somebody predicted where I take my tea downstairs. Yeah. Mr. Jimmy, be like, say you go soon get Pekin. No. I said, even an accidental discharge
won't put
this. I got to go.
Yeah.
So I'll see you all tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Bye.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.